पुत्रभेत्रहे कपाणये ज्ञान मुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृत दुहे नमः। हरे कृष्णा। वेलकम बैक टू अ भगवद गीता भक्ति शास्त्री कोर्स। वी आर ऑन द 11th चैप्टर, जस्ट अबाउट टू स्टार्ट ऑफ इन व्यूइंग थ्रू द गीता डिस्क्रिप्शन व्हाट इज वन ऑफ द मोस्ट extraordinary mystical religious visions in all of religious history. In different religious traditions there are saints and seers who get visions. So Muhammad is supposed to have got a vision which took him to, in which he saw, met all the previous prophets, Jesus and Abraham, Moses and Abraham, and he's supposed to have seen the face of Allah also. But what actually he saw when he saw God is not described in the Quran. Jesus is said to have been the son of God and he has been in touch with God. But what again, what were the nature of those interactions, that is not spoken about much. So the manifestation of God that is described in this chapter in the Bhagavad Gita has few parallels, few if any parallels in the religious literature of the world. So there have been many great saints throughout history who have had experiences of God, no doubt. But here, the experience is not just an inner experience, it's an outer vision. And that vision is not just some imagination, it's a revelation. So Arjuna is seeing not because of some imagination from his mind, but it's a revelation that is given by God himself. So God is revealing how he is the universal form. So what exactly does the universal form mean, and how does it relate with our normal understanding of various things? We will see this in due course. Let's look at Arjuna's verses, the Gita's verses, how they describe this mysterious phenomena. So let's look at it from the Bhagavad Gita verses 5 onwards. So here we discussed what is happening in this chapter. Let's have a quick overview of the chapter once again. Verses 1 to 4 was Arjuna's request. Verses 5 to 8 was Krishna's description of the universal form. Then 9 to 14 is Sanjaya's description of the universal form. Then after that, 15 to 31 is Arjuna's description. And then it moves forward. So let's start by looking at Krishna's description of the universal form. So we'll look at the description, and as we move forward, we'll try to understand the concepts that are implied by the description. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Pashyame Partha Rupani Shatashotha Sahasrashah Nana Vidhani Divyani Nana Varana Kritini Cha. So Pashyame, see my Rupani. Now Arjuna had asked to see the Rupa Aishwarya, the mysterious form, Rupa Aishwarya, the opulence of the form. So Partha Rupani. So Rupani means, here Arjuna is being told that there is not just one form, there are many forms in it. So actually it is one majestic form which in cohesion or in synthesis can be called as a universal form. But within that universal form there are many forms. So Pashya. So actually, and this word Pashya will come several times in this chapter, and especially in Krishna's description over here in the next four verses. And the point is that Arjuna had desired to see, and Krishna is see now. Krishna is saying see. So this is a, as I said, not just a experience or a inner realization, it's a visible vision for Arjuna. Shatashotha Sahasrashah Shatasho. So now actually how many forms are there? Shata is 100, Sahasrasha is thousands. So in that one form there are hundreds and thousands of forms. Nana Vidhani Divyani. Nana Vidhani. That there are many different kinds of forms also, variegated. And they are all divine, they are all extraordinary. They are connected with God. Anana, Varna, Akriti, Nicha. So Varna is color, Akriti is shape. So they are, that means there is one universal form, between that there is tremendous variety. First of all, there are many forms. All of them forms are Divya, but then they are of different colors, they are of different shapes, and they are variegated. So this is the mysterious vision that Krishna is revealing to Arjuna. So normally when we see, you know, we don't just see with the eyes, we see with our intelligence. This is not just a philosophical point, it's also a practical reality. When we see, we can't make sense of things unless our intelligence has some past framework by which we can make sense of things. There are two kinds of blindness. There is congenital blindness and there is adventitious blindness. So congenital is when a person is blind right from the birth itself. Adventitious is when the person becomes blind over a period of time after having had vision for some time. Now, in some cases, if the cause of the blindness is correctable, then the person who is blind may be able to get back eyes through surgery and through other medical treatment. Now, if the person had been congenitally blind and got back eyes, say the person has been blind for 15 years, 20 years, and then for the first time surgery is done and the person gets back eyes. Now, after the person gets back eyes, there have been medical journal articles and even books written about this, where these people who are blind and they got the eyes back, when they opened their eyes, all that they could sense was just a confused haze of light and colors, which is all incoherent for them. So one of those persons, he describes, when he asks, you know, I just opened my eyes and I could just see a bewildering maze of colors, and suddenly I heard a voice, and then I looked in that direction, and then I saw a pattern of dark and faint colors, and because I knew that voices came from faces, so I realized whatever I was seeing was a face, but it just couldn't make sense of it. So there was a carpenter, you know, who would use tools, and for many years this carpenter had been using tools to cut wood, although he was blind. So when the first time he saw a saw, a machine for cut, a tool for cutting, now he looked at it and he looked at it as if he had never seen it only. Just couldn't make sense of it, although he had been using it so throughout his life for earning a livelihood, but still it was completely unfamiliar. And then as he was looking at it without being able to make any sense, then as soon as his movements were unsure and unsteady, but then as soon as he touched, then immediately, oh, this is the part, this is the blade part, this is the handle part, he started picking up and using it. So he was able to use it far better with the sense of touch than he was with the sense of sight. Why is that? Because, you know, our knowledge proceeds from the familiar to the unfamiliar. We have something familiar that we know, and then something more which connects with the familiar, and that's how our knowledge proceeds further. But when there is no framework for our knowledge, when there is no nothing familiar to which the unfamiliar can lodge on, then there is no intelligibility in the perception. So people who are congenitally blind, if somehow they get eyes, they need a long period of enculturation, you know, for them to get accustomed and habituated to having eyes and to function with the eyes. It's not easy for them. Why? Because they just have no prior frame of reference with which to view the world. So actually people see not just with their eyes, they see with their intelligence. So the color pattern and the shapes and everything that we see with our eyes, if we did not have a prior bank of experience with which to connect it, we would not be able to understand it. So similarly here, Arjuna is going to get a vision for which he has no prior connection to make. Nobody has seen anything like this. And Krishna will also tell several times in this chapter, Adrushta Purvani. This has never been seen before. Adrushta Purvani. So, Drushta is to see. Adrushta is not to see. Not seen. Purvani is in the past. This has never been seen before. So therefore, Krishna, by these introductory verses, is giving Arjuna some basic framework by which Arjuna will be able to make sense of what he's going to see now. So therefore, Krishna is telling Arjuna, he's orienting himself. Like when a person gets into a company, there is an orientation course. So that person knows what is that. This department of the company. This is the these are the in charges. This is here. This is here. So now Arjuna needs a orientation course before he can have a perception session with the universal form. So that orientation course is this first four verses where Krishna is giving Arjuna a pre-description of the view that is going to follow. And then when he describes this, he says, now Prabhupada explains in the purport that actually Krishna is not interested, Arjuna is not interested in seeing the form for himself. Then what is the reason that Arjuna wants to, has asked Krishna to show the form? He is saying, just like the previous chapter, when Arjuna asked the questions in 10.16 to 18, the reason for asking the question was for loka sangraha. People cannot see the spiritual realities, they can see my matter. So from matter, how to guide them to spirit? That was the purpose. Similarly, here in this chapter also, how will people know that someone is God? So one aspect is to recognize that that person has extraordinary power, has the capacity to do extraordinary things, and one of the things that the person is capable of doing is displaying the universal form. So here Arjuna is requesting Krishna that you please display the universal form so that people who are naysayers, people who are doubters, so there can be two categories of people. People who are very gullible and who believe anyone and everyone who claims to be God. And there are naysayers who even don't believe the real God is God. So actually there are two kinds of illusions. So to think of God to be an ordinary person and to think of an ordinary person to be God. So this is in the 18th chapter we'll see. The characteristic of knowledge and ignorance is sarvarthan viparitamshya. That sarvarthan, what is the reality? Exactly opposite one perceives of that. So that sort of misfortune of perceiving the opposite of the reality, that is to be avoided. And Krishna wants to protect, Arjuna wants to protect people from that. So Krishna has told so much about his opulences. And some naysayers may think this is just Krishna bragging about himself. But no. Krishna, Arjuna wants Krishna to demonstrate so that people will know that Krishna is not just speaking words. Krishna has the words that Krishna is speaking are real, and Krishna can demonstrate them, and he will set a precedent that if anybody wants to claim to be God, that person has to be able to show the universal form. So Arjuna's request is primarily for the sake of people in general, so that the people in general will have a standard by which to know who is really God and who is not God. So let us see now what happens. So as the verse moves forward, so पश्यादित्यान् वसून् रुद्रान् अश्विनौ मरुतस्तथा बहुन्यदृष्टपूर्वाणि पश्याश्चर्याणि भारत. सो पश्य नाउ होल हूज हू इन यूनिवर्सल इन वैदिक कॉस्मोलॉजी इज बीइंग रिवील्ड इन दिस यूनिवर्सल फॉर्म. पश्य आदित्यान् वसून् रुद्रान्. सो मेनी ऑफ दीज पीपल इफ यू सी दे वर मेंशनड इन द vibhutis. So these are already powerful personalities. So Adityanam, Aham Vishnu, Shankaranam Rudraschasmi, like that. Vasunam Asmi Vasuki. So like that. Basically, what was described was these are all illustrious persons, and among them, the person who is most illustrious, that is Krishna. That person is manifesting Krishna's glories. So Pashya Adityan Vasun Rudran. So see the Aditya, see the Vasu, see the Rudras. And Ashvina Marutas Tatha. So see the Ashvina, see the Marutas. So Marichir Marutamasmi was also described in the previous chapter. bahunni adrushta purvani, bahunni, like that. All the powerful personalities in the universe are here. Adrushta purvani, what no one else has seen till now. Pashyashcharyani bharata, pashyashcharyani. It's actually amazing what is being seen. Bharata, bharata. So what is being seen is amazing. Pashyashcharyani. So actually for this is the Ashcharya. So second time the word Pashya has come, and along with that the Ashcharya is described. So now it may seem that Krishna sort of praising himself here. He say, what I want to show you is amazing. No, it's not Krishna praising himself. Krishna is just stating objective reality. You know, all these celestial personalities are not very easy to behold. Even alone, you know, they are not really very easily visible for human beings. Not to speak of all of them together in one form, that is a revelation by the absolute truth, that is even more extraordinary. So Pashya Ashcharyani, second time the word Pashya has come. Now again third time the word Pashya will come. Ihaikastham jagat krutsnam pashyati sacharacharam mama dehe gudakesha yachanya drashtumichasi. So ihaikastham, iha ekastham, here at one place. Jagat krutsnam, the whole universe is seeing. Ihaikastham jagat krutsnam pashyati sacharacharam pashyati sacharacharam. Now, chara, so chara and chara, so the moving and the non-moving, at one place, everything in the universe can be said, Krishna. Krishna is everything as we discussed earlier. Mama dehe gudakesha. So, gudakesha, O Arjuna, see all this in mama dehe, in my body. So, Krishna is clearly telling, what is this vision that you are seeing? It's my body. So, till now, the specific word Vishwarupa has not come. That will come later on when Arjuna speaks his description and glorification of the vision that he's having. But this is also one of the close references where the Lord is telling, this is mama dehe, this is my form. Which kind of form? Now when Krishna is saying this is my form, what does it mean? It's actually referring to the form of the Supreme Lord, which is manifested as the Virat Rupa. Yachanyad drashtumichasi, yachanyad. And beyond this, whatever else you may want to see, that also you can see over here. So what does it mean, whatever else you may want to see, yachanyad? Actually, it refers to the future outcome of the battle. Arjuna is about to wage a fierce war, and because he is going to wage a war, he will naturally be eager to know what is going to be the fate, who is going to win, who is going to lose. So, although that is not specifically what Arjuna has asked, but Krishna says, I will show you that also. In this way, Krishna is giving Arjuna a temporary, provisional glimpse of omniscience. How? Now, omniscience means to know everything. So, glimpse of omniscience means that he is saying, at one place you will be able to see everything. See, normally when we are at one place, we can see only what is visible in that place. Like if I am in a particular room, I can see what is in that room. Now, through some high-tech gadgets, through internet, we can be in one place and we can know a lot about various places. Okay, this is happening there, that is happening there, that is happening there. But it's all secondary. It's all dependent on intermediate sources, which may be people who are reporting, or which may be cameras which are showing. Whichever way it is, we need intermediaries to be able to perceive. But God does not, because God is himself all pervading, and he has vision and knowledge of everything. So here Krishna, when in the revelation of the Virat Rupa, is giving a provisional kind of omniscience. So in the Virat Rupa, not exactly all the nitty-gritty details of the universe, but the who's who of the universe, all the prominent people of the universe. And actually Krishna says that in this Virat Rupa, what you see is sacharacharam, even all living beings are present. So ihaikastham jagat krishnam, so although you are in one place, you can see krishnam, whole universe, and what you are seeing is my form. So this is the extraordinary mercy that the Lord is giving to him. Now here It is described next verse. Krishna tells Arjuna, now Arjuna is waiting. Krishna is describing to Arjuna that, see this form. But Arjuna is not able to see anything. Then Krishna says, actually you can't see with this. So what you will read, special eyes for this. So then Krishna here will say, I'll give those eyes. Natumam shakyase drashtum anenaiva sochakshushaha chakshusha divyam dadamite chakshuhu pashyame yogamaishwaram. So natumam shakyase drashtum, it is not possible for you to see Orion. It's not possible. So actually 11.4 was mannese yadi tachakyam, if it is possible for me to see. Mannese yadi tachakyam, and he says actually natumam shakyase drashtum. So maya drashtum ite prabho, same word maya drashtum, is it possible for me to see me? Then reveal it to me. So Krishna tells, no, it's not possible for you to see you, for you to see me, but still I will give you the power. Natumam shakyase drashtum anenaiva swachakshusha, with the eyes that you have, you can't see. Therefore, what I will do? Divyam dadamite chakshuhu. That I will give you divine eyes. Divyam dadami. I'll give you divine eyes. And what is this? When he gives the eyes, he's telling now, pashyame yogamaishwaram. Just see my mystic opulence. Now, this is 11.8 where Krishna is using pashyame yogamaishwaram. Where has he used it earlier? 9.5. Achamatsthani bhutani pashyame yoga maishwaram bhuta brinnach bhutastho mamatma bhuta bhavana. So in 9.5b he has used the word pashyame yoga maishwaram, behold my mystical opulence. So we have said that over there, pashyame, see my mystical opulence. So what is actually happening there? It was more of there, pashya was not so much in terms of literal seeing, pashya was in terms of understanding. Sometimes when somebody makes a point, then we say I see. Now when I say I see, what actually we mean is I understand. So, or sometimes people say, do you see what I am saying? That means not literally see, that is in terms of understanding. So do you understand what I am saying? So the word see is also sometimes used for understanding. So there in 9.5b, pashyame yogamaishwaram, just see my mystical opulence. There Krishna has not given any vision to Arjuna. Krishna has given a description of how I sustain all living beings, and still I don't sustain all living beings, I am different from them. That is my mystical opulence. So it was in terms of a rhetorical expression to underscore to highlight a mysterious description. So the mysterious description was, okay, this is I sustain all, I don't sustain all. How is this possible? This is my inconceivable potency, this is my mystical potency. But here pashyame yogamaishwaram is not a rhetorical description, it is a literal instruction. Just see now. So now in this verse, divyam dadamite chakshuhu. So Arjuna is being given eyes by Krishna. Now when we say given eyes, it's not like organ donation that is done today. It's not like the person has to go into unconsciousness and you have to take out the eyes, and then somebody else has to be a donor for the eyes, and that person gives the eyes. So that we can, so people say give eyes like that. That is not the kind of eyes that Krishna is giving. Actually, Krishna gives the power to see. Power to see. So Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and we discussed this earlier also, that how the universe is like a computer. It's like if you have a mainframe computer with a huge amount of information in it, and then within that actually there are different users who have different levels of access. So some users have access only to preliminary data files, some users have access to even the code files, and some users have access to everything. So like that, there are different levels of access. So like that, within the universe also, the universe is like a computer with multiple levels of access, and we human beings have a particular level of access within it. Devatas have higher level of access, and Krishna has complete access. So now sometimes when a person is working on a computer, there may be a user who is like a child. Another user like a parent. The parent says, now I'll give you access. And then suddenly all the files that were blocked, we've not even seen on the computer. Now suddenly you can see, oh, all these files are already there. So like that, Pashyame Yoga Maishwaram. So what is Krishna giving? When Krishna is giving eyes, that means it's not that some eyes are being sent through the fingers of Krishna and they're planting themselves on the eye, over the eyes of Arjuna. No, Krishna is giving access. Krishna is giving access to the higher realities that are there. And he's giving not just the access, the ability to access also. So, Divyam Dadamite Chakshuhu. I'm giving you divine vision by which you can see. And when he describes this, at this point what happens? When he says this, so Vishnu Chakrakur describes something interesting over here. He says that the Virata Rupa is itself not spiritual. It is also material, because it's about the universe. Now, where the universe itself is material, and so therefore even the Virata Rupa is material. It's not a spiritual form. Now, by one definition, you could say that anything connected with Krishna, with the Supreme Spiritual Reality, is spiritual. That's fine. That is from a applicational perspective. But from a compositional or constitutional perspective, there are certain things which are made of earth, water, fire, air, ether, and certain things which are made up of Satchitananda. So that difference of matter and spirit always remains true. Because it remains true, so it has to be understood, things have to be understood from that perspective. So Arjuna and the people around him, they are in human bodies and they have the normal human vision. Then there is the pure devotional vision, wherein one sees Krishna and one understands that Krishna is God who has concealed his divinity out of love. He has concealed his supreme power and supreme nature. He has become a charioteer for his devotee because he wants to reciprocate and relish love. So that is the divine intimate vision that Arjuna has. The other people over there, Naradarake Naiva. So Maya Shritana Naradarake. So actually those who are in Maya, they think that he's just like another ordinary human being. So that is the normal human vision that people may have. So Arjuna does not have the normal human vision. He has a pure devotional vision. So now for Arjuna, when this Krishna is saying Divyam Dadami, actually that is a downgrading of vision, not an upgrading of vision. Why? Because he is at a spiritual level where he is seeing the Shamsundar form, the Parthasarthi form of Krishna, very intimate form, and he is reciprocating with that form. So for him to see the Virata Rupa is not actually an upgradation, it's not upgrading, it's downgrading. And Prabhupada points to this point in a very extraordinary section in the Bhagavad Gita. So here, such a bold statement Prabhupada makes. Devotees are correctly situated in a transcendental relationship with Krishna, are attracted by loving features, not by a godless display of opulences. Now just think about this. God is displaying his opulences and Prabhupada is calling it as a godless display of opulences. Now how can God's display of opulences be called as a godless display of opulence? So actually this is the vision of a devotee. A devotee is not interested in just a brute display of power. I am so great. And actually even God is not interested in that. You know, Krishna in the spiritual world is not interested in everybody knowing, oh, I am God and all of you bow down to me. And the eternal ritual that you have to do in the spiritual world is everybody keep coming in a sequence and keep bowing down to me. And that's what all of you will have to do for eternity. Krishna is not a God like that. That's not what Krishna is interested in. Krishna is interested in reciprocating love with his devotees. And for the sake of reciprocating love, he is actually, he conceals his divinity. But in some cases, for people to know the truth, by which they can come out of illusion and come to reality, they can give up rebellion against him, they can give up forgetfulness of him, and return back to connection with him, reunion with him. So for that sake, Krishna sometimes asserts and displays his divinity. So a devotee who already accepts Krishna's supremacy, especially the Virata Rupa, it's very difficult to love the Virata Rupa. We'll see that Arjuna's responses vary. First he's amazed, then he's awestruck, then he's fearful, and then he's overwhelmed with fear. And then he just begs, who are you? Akya hi ko bhavan ugra rupo. Who are you? Please help me. Please tell me who you are. So Arjuna goes through a whole gamut of emotions over there in his response to the darshan of the Virat Rupa. But the point is that the Virat Rupa is not very easy to love. You cannot have the Virat Rupa, you cannot do Rasalila dance with Virat Rupa. It's everywhere. How will you dance? Or you know, whether Yashoda cannot feed any food to the Virat Rupa. So the Virat Rupa displays the opulences of God in terms of power and pervasion. Pervasion means that it pervades everything, exists everywhere. But actually it is not very conducive for intimate devotion. And that's what the devotee hungers for. The devotee wants loving reciprocation, intimate devotion for the Lord. And this form is not very anukul for that. That's why Prabhupada is calling it as godless display of opulence. A devotee is not very much interested in that. Now, Krishna is being requested this by Arjuna because Arjuna wants to set a standard for others, and Krishna will oblige with this request. But Prabhupada quotes this well-known verse from the Bhagavatam 10, 12, 11 about how different people pursue God differently. Ittham sata brahma sukhan bhutya dasyam gatanam paradaivatena maya shutanam naradarakena sakam vijaro krita punya punja. So ittham satam, here is tam. Satam is the truth. Brahma sukhan bhutya, here is that same being who is considered as the Brahma sukha, is considered as the impersonal Brahman, who experiences Brahma sukha by the satam, by the sages. Dasyam gatanam, so for those who are in the personal understanding and want to serve him, those who are his servant, dasyam gatanam paradaivatena, he is the transcendental God, paradaivatena maya shrutanam naradarakena. So maya shrutanam, those who have taken shelter of, those who are under the shelter of maya, for them naradarakena, they think that he is just like ordinary human being. And sakam vijaru krita punya punjaha. Sakam vijaru, that same absolute truth, is playing with these gopas, and the gopas krita punya punjaha, they must have acquired a punjaha, treasury of punya. They have actually extraordinary credits. These are not ordinary punya, this is bhakti unmukha punya. They must have extraordinary pious devotional credits by which they are able to play with Krishna like this. So the point here of this Prabhupada quoting this verse is that the Lord is pursued differently by different people, but the certain perceptions are favorable for devotion. So the Virat Rupa perception is not very favorable for intimate reciprocation. So those who want intimate reciprocation with the Lord, for example the gopas, they are given, the Lord places them in an arena where he manifests the intimate form and he reciprocates love with them. So Prabhupada goes on to say again that the devotee is not very interested in seeing Virat Rupa, but for the sake of others he is asking. So now here in four verses Krishna has described what Arjuna is going to see. So first he says you will see thousands of forms, hundreds and thousands of forms, all variegated. And then second he says that, oh, you will see the various devatas and practically the whole universe's who's who in it. And then he says you will get omniscience. He says, you know, you at one place you will see everything in the universe, and you will see what you have not even asked for, some of the things you are not even asked to see, that is, you will see in the future also. And after describing that, then he says, okay, I'll give you the eyes to see. So now, where as this eyes to see is being given, along with that there is a transformation that is happening in the setting of the war field also, and that is reported by Sanjay. So sometimes when a movie is going on, for the action to be properly conveyed, the camera sometimes zooms closer and sometimes zooms further. So when two people are fighting hand to hand, at that time to show the action, the camera may focus on those two people. But if a war is going on, and then the overall direction of the war is to be told, the camera may zoom backwards and say, okay, this party soldiers are moving forward, this party soldiers are moving backwards. So the camera zoom comes close and comes behind, goes back, so as to give a complete perception of what is happening. So what is happening now is, the camera zoom goes backwards. So here Krishna has described, and before Arjuna's description of what Arjuna is going to tell, the camera zooms backward, and then Sanjay, what he is seeing, he describes. Sanjay describes, not only, so by this method, what is achieved is that Arjuna's bodily reactions are also conveyed. So Arjuna is going to describe his thoughts and his emotions, but his bodily reactions, they are conveyed by Sanjay, along with, of course, what is the vision that Krishna is revealing. So now the camera goes backwards. Till now the camera focuses on Sanjay, was on Krishna and Arjuna. But now the camera goes backwards to Sanjay and Dhritarashtra. And Sanjay starts speaking to Dhritarashtra. Sanjay vacha eva muktva tato rajan mahayogeshwaro harihi darshayama sapartaya paramam rupamaishwaram. So eva muktva, having spoken thus, tato rajan. So here Rajan refers to Dhritarashtra, Sanjay is speaking. After Krishna spoke thus, and then to describe that what Krishna is going to do is not ordinary. So Arjuna has used the word Yogeshwara. Yogeshwara tato metvam. So he has said, O Yogeshwar, in 11.4 he said that you can show me the form, because you are Yogeshwar. So here Sanjay highlights that point by using a further describer. This is Mahayogeshwar O Hari. That Lord Hari, who is he? Mahayogeshwar. Normally yogis are able to do something which ordinary people are not able to do. Yogis may be able to sometimes produce sparks from their body. They move their hands and some ashes may come out. They may be able to do all sorts of mysterious things. Now, many of the yogis who claim to do these things today, they are just doing sleight of hand. They are using some misdirection of attention of the audience, so that by ordinary means only they are producing the ashes. But some yogis can actually do such things. Even whichever way it is, whether they do it by ordinary means or through mystic powers, the point is that they are yogis, whereas Krishna is Yogeshwara. And he has all mystic power. So Mahayogeshwar Ohari. So he's quite capable of doing this mysterious thing of revealing the Virat Rupa. Darshayamasa Parthaya. Darshayam. So he reveals what? Parthaya. And to Partha, what does he reveal? Paramam Rupamaishwaram. So the same word Rupaishwarya. That was in the request of Arjuna. He said, I want to see your opulent form. So darshayam, what paramam rupamaishwaram, the opulent form, paramam, there's a supreme divine that is shown. So now when Krishna Arjuna speaks this, Sanjay speaks this, in the next verse Sanjay goes on to describe. So here the camera is on Sanjay and Dhritarashtra, and Sanjay is saying, now he reveals the form. Krishna has revealed the form. Now what has he revealed? Sanjay will tell what he is seeing. Aneka vaktra nayanam, aneka adbhuta darshanam, aneka divya bharanam, divya anekodhita yudham, divyamalyam bharadharam, divya gandhanulepanam, sarvashcharyamayam devam, anantam vishvato mukham. So aneka vaktra nayanam, aneka vaktra nayanam. There are vaktra is face, eyes, nayanam, aneka vaktra nayanam. There are many faces, many eyes, aneka adbhuta darshanam. There are many extraordinary visions, aneka divya bharanam. So there are many divine, there are actually abharanam is ornaments and garments. So divya aneka odhita ayudham, ayudham is weapons. So ayudhanam aham vajram had come in the 10th chapter, that among weapons I am Indra's thunderbolts. So he is describing that not just one or two weapons like that, there are many weapons, aneka. But the word anek normally means many. The acharyas describe that actually here it refers to many, many, so many that they are almost like innumerable. There are many, because Krishna has already said that chatushota sahasrashah, hundreds and thousands you will be able to see. Divyanek odhita yudham, and then divyamalyambaradharam. So abharanam was ornaments, ambaradharam, you know, it's a dress. So there is garlands and dresses. Divyagandhanulepanam. So in Vedic culture, when a person is to be, when a person is honored and adorned at that time, gandha, sandalwood paste and other such things are applied. So divyagandhanulepanam. And then again the same word, sarvashcharyamayam devam. So pashyashcharyani bharata. So when Krishna had completed the description in 11 point, he says, Ashcharyani, it's of amazing. The same word is used over here. So sarva ashcharyamayam. Actually, it's filled with all. Mayam is filled with, sarva is all. It's filled with all amazing things. Devam, this form of the Lord. Anantam vishvato mukham. Anantam. It's unlimited. Vishvato mukham. Vishvato mukham means actually it's all pervading. So he's describing that. This extraordinary form which is saying what Krishna has said in the first verse. You know, Paishyadisacharacharam. So, that is the first thing. You know, when we see a person, we just look around and see the overall contour, isn't it? Whether the person tall or short, fat or thin. The first impression of a person is the contour. So, when you see the contour, there are so many hands, so many faces, so many legs, and it's so many garments, so many ornaments, so many decorations, so many weapons. Just see the contours and he says, it's amazing. We've never seen anything like this before. And then after that he describes, then when he sees the contour, then next thing he realizes, oh, there's such an effulgence. It's very difficult to see this form only. So then he describes the effulgence over there. Divi surya sahasrasya bhaved yugapad uthita yadi bhasa drushi sasyad bhasastasya mahatmanaha. Divisurya sahasrasya. So Divisurya is that there are, if there were sahasrasya, so sahasra shat we have. Shata is 100, sahasra is 1000. So where the thousands of suns could rise at one time. Bhaved yugapad uthita. So actually yugapada, at the conjunction of yugas, when one yuga ends and another yuga begins, so at that time, it is said according to the Bhagavatam in the Vedic scripture that the sun's effulgence becomes far greater. That is, universe is going to be destroyed, and one of the factors that triggers or accelerates the destruction of the universe in its due course of time is the increased temperature of the sun. So bhaved yugapad uthita. So at the time of the yugapada, at the time turn of the yuga, when the universe is about to be destroyed, sun's effulgence increases. So like that, if that super effulgent sun was there, it itself would be blinding and burning. But if there were divi surya sahasrasya, if there are thousands of suns like this, like that, then it would, that effulgence, yadi bhasa drushi syasyat, if such a thing were possible, then that would give some indication. Bhasastasya mahatmanaha. So he's using the word Mahatma. Now, till now, the word Mahatma has been used in Bhagavad Gita to describe the advanced transcendentalist. Here, the word Mahatma is used to refer to the Supreme Lord, to the Virat Rupa over here. Sanjay is using this. So such is the extraordinary effulgence of the Supreme Being. Bhasastasya Mahatmanaha yadi bhasadrushi sasyat. So that is the extraordinary effulgence. Then what happens after that? Divisurya sahasrasya. So actually Prabhupada also explained the purport, and this is indescribable. Now what is saying? Actually, you know, when there are spiritual visions, often words are inadequate to describe them. That doesn't mean that words are useless, but words are, the reach of words is not as much as the reach of as the scope of the experience. The vision and the experience are so extraordinary that words cannot reach them. So in such situations, when the words are used, they act as pointers. They are not describers, they are indicators. Vishnu Chakravarti talks about this elaborately in the 10th canto commentary, Sara Darshini, especially the 87th chapter, the Perils of the Personified Yoga in the 10th canto. He describes that actually when we say that Krishna is like a bluish black complexioned youth, or Krishna is a youth who has a complexion like a bluish black rain cloud. So normally we may think about a youth, we may think of bluish black complexion, bluish black cloud, and we combine the two and think, oh, this must be what, this is what Krishna looks like. So the concatenation, the combination of two mental images cannot invoke the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, that is not exactly the Supreme Lord. That is a pointer towards the Supreme Lord. And when the Supreme Lord is perceived, that is when he reveals himself. Swayameva Spuratya Daha. When he reveals himself, that's when he is pursued. Till then, he is not pursued. So, when we try to meditate on the scriptural descriptions of how the Supreme Lord is, it is not that that itself invokes the Supreme Lord. You know, by that we do seva. By that we serve the Supreme Lord by following the instructions given in the scriptures by him and his devotees. This is how we should meditate on the Supreme Lord. Eventually, when we will see the Supreme Lord, that vision will be far deeper, far richer than what we could ever have described. That's why many Vaishnava Acharyas have described how actually what we see is a very small, is not what we describe through words is not enough. There are Vaishnava Acharyas who have sung that, you know, I wrote choice poetry glorifying you, and I thought I had glorified you very beautifully. But now that I have seen you, my dear Lord, I have understood that all my glorification is like an insult. Because if we say that, if we glorify somebody as the, oh, you are the landlord of the whole village, and if that person is actually the emperor of the whole country, now from the perspective of ordinary citizen, oh, you are the landlord of the whole village, that's an impressive thing. But from the perspective of the reality of the position of the person being the emperor of the whole country, then that's insignificant. So that sort of glorification is actually a minimization. So similarly, the words that we use to glorify the Lord, they are not, they are often inadequate to describe the glories of the Lord. So they are not glorification, they may well be minimization. But still, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't glorify. You know, a great saint, Tukaram, he says that, you know, the swan can walk very elegantly. The swan may walk very elegantly, but and other birds cannot walk that elegantly. But that doesn't mean other birds don't have a right to walk. And they can all walk. So like that, you know, we can all glorify the Supreme Lord, although we may not be able to glorify in a very elegant or eloquent way. And our glorification may not be adequate. It can never be adequate to describe the Supreme Lord's glories. But still, for His pleasure, for our purification, and for communicating something to the world about the glories of the Lord, we try to speak His glories. So similarly, Prabhupada is saying that what is actually, even Divisuri Sahasrasya Bhaved Yugapadutita, that even this description that the super effulgent sun in thousands, that would describe the Bhasastasya Mahatma, the effulgence, that is also a indication, that is not a description. Then what happens after this? Tatraikastham jagat krishnam pravibhaktam anekadha apashyad deva devasya sharire pandavastada tatraikastham. So again, ihaikastham, it was earlier when Krishna was telling Arjuna in 11.7, ihaikastham. So Krishna and Arjuna are on the battlefield, therefore say, at here, at this one place, you can see everything. Now then Sanjay and Sitarashtra are describing, they are discussing, from Sanjay's perspective, Sanjay is at the palace with Sitarashtra in Hastinapur, and the battle is going on at Kurukshetra, therefore he is saying tatra, tatraikastham jagat krishnam. So from that one place, the whole universe was seen. Pravibhaktam anekada. So pravibhaktam means divided into many details. Vibhaktam is separated, divided. Apashyad deva devasya. So in that apashyad, Arjuna saw deva devasya sharire. in that Lord who is the God of the gods, the supreme God, in his body. So now the body word does not necessarily have to mean material body. It can be a transcendental body also. So, but in the form of the Lord, Pandavastada. So at that time, the Pandava, the Arjuna saw that. So from the point of view of Dhritarashtra, you know, all of them are sons of Pandu. They are not his sons. So that particular sentiment is there. And that is underscored by the word Pandava. Tathasa vismaya vishto rishtiroma dhananjayaha pranamya shirasa devam krutanjali ravashata. Tathasa vismaya vishto. So vismay means amazement, astonishment. So vismaya avishto. He was not just amazed, but he was overwhelmed by amazement. And Rishtaroma Dhananjaya. So Rishtaroma. Rishta means to rise. Roma is the hair. So the hair on his body stood up. Dhananjaya's Pranamya Shirasa Devam. Then he bowed down. He bowed his head down and then Krutanjali, Anjali is hands, Kruta, he says, folded his hands forward and Krutanjali Rabhashata. So Arjuna starts speaking over here. So Arjuna has become reverential. Krishna was asked by Arjuna, please show me this form. And he starts seeing the form. So now as the form moves, as this revelation goes on, what will happen is that Arjuna is able to see this form, and then he is not able to see Krishna at all. Later on we will see that he just sees this universal form and gets overwhelmed by seeing this universal form. But when he is seeing this universal form, he starts offering, he bows his head down, folds his hand, and then he starts speaking now. So what has happened? Arjuna is overwhelmed. There is an emotional reaction and there is a physical reaction. So the physical reaction that is described is Rishtaroma. Rishtaroma is that his hair has stood up. And the emotional reaction is that Vismaya Vishto is overwhelmed by astonishment. And then he starts speaking. So the Prabhupada explained this is not because of fear, it is because of wonder. Now let us see what Arjuna starts speaking. Now from here onwards, if you go back to the overview, 15 to 31 is Arjuna's description of the universal form. So 9 to 14 was Sanjaya describing. So let us see what Arjuna describes now. What has Sanjaya described till now? Sanjaya, if we look at this description, Krishna's description is the briefest. It's actually only 3 verses, and 4th verse is saying that, I'll give you the eyes by which you can see. Then Sanjaya's description is slightly longer. It is totally 5 verses, out of which the 5th verse is describing Arjuna's reaction. So, in Krishna's description, the point was, you will see many forms, and then you will see all the devatas, and then you will see everything at one place. And now, Krishna is going to reveal, so he also says, you will also be able to see some things which you are not even asked to see. And Sanjaya is describing, Sanjaya doesn't know that Krishna is going to see something, Krishna is going to reveal something. She doesn't know. So what does Sanjaya's description contain? First he says that actually is Mahayogeshwaro Hari, and he revealed the form, and then he says, he underscores the point that Anek, there are so many faces, so many hands, so many ornaments, so many weapons. So what Krishna has said in 5, Sanjaya has elaborated in 2 verses, in 10 and 11. And then 12, 13, 14, how is it going? 14 is the description of the reaction of Arjuna. What happened to Arjuna when he saw that form? And before that, 12 was the when this whole thing was displayed, Sanjay added one more metaphor, that is Divisurya Sahasrasya. And actually, if thousands of suns were there, that was not there in Krishna's description. So Arjuna, Sanjay is giving that to give an indication of what it was like. And then after that, in the next verse also he says, again he makes the second point, Tatra Ekastham, there is one place, and one place everything is seen. So in Sanjay's description, there is no mention of the point of Ashwina, Rudra and all that. That is, Sanjay is just giving a quick overview. He's not going into details. And the details will be described by Arjuna when he's describing the universal form. And actually when Arjuna is describing, the description will suddenly change into glorification. And the glorification will change into offering of obeisances. And offering of obeisances will change into prayers. So this is how the description will evolve. But let's start with the description now. So when he describes here, Arjuna Vacha, Pashyami Devam Stava Deva Dehe, Sarvam Satha Bhuta Vishesha Sanghan, Brahmanamisham Kamalasanastham, Rushimcha Sarvan Urgamscha Divyan. So Pashyami. So several times Krishna has told Arjuna, Pashya, Pashya, see, see. So now Arjuna is saying, yes, I do see. Pashyami Devams. So Devams is a plural word. So here Devams refers to the Devtas. So actually the same word is being used to in one sense to refer to the Supreme Lord also. Tava Deva Dehe. So that Deva refers to the Supreme Lord. And Dehe is the form. So in your form, what am I seeing? Pashyami Devams Tava Deva Dehe. In your form, I am seeing many, many forms. Sarvam Satha Bhuta Vishesh Sanghan. Sarvam Satha Bhuta Vishesh Sanghan. So I am seeing many, many forms over here. And as I see all these various forms, all different kinds of living beings. And he's describing right from the top of the universe to the bottom of the universe. Brahmanamisham Kamalasanastham. So as we know, Brahmaji is situated on a lotus flower. So Kamalasana is has a asana of Kamala, and who is Brahmanamishama. He is also one of the controllers of the universe. Rishims Chasarvan. And as he's moving forward, downwards from the description of the universal cosmology, okay, Brahmaji is at the top. And then after that, he's describing Rishims Chasarvan. So from the top of the universe where Brahma is there, from there Rishis are there below. And then Urugams Chadivyan. So Urugams Chadivyan. Urugams refer to serpents, a divine serpent. It actually refers to the whole universe which is having one vision. At the bottom of the universe, there are the celestial serpent, there is Sheshnag. And there are the various kinds of other serpents, also Vasuki and all that. But Sheshnag is at the bottom. So right from the top to the bottom, everything he is seeing. And he is Pashyami Devams. I am seeing all this, O Krishna. So the first thing that Arjuna describes is the sheer scope, right from the top of the universe to the bottom of the universe he sees. And then, so Arjuna is confirming here what Krishna had said, Ihaikastham Jagat Krishna. From one place, you will see the whole universe. So indeed, Arjuna is confirming, yes, I am able to see. And then he goes on and describes, again, what is seeing? Aneka, many, many things. Aneka Bahu Dharvaktra Netram. Pashyami Tvam Sarvato Anantarupam Nantam Namadhyam Napunastavadim Pashyami Vishveshvara Vishvarupa. So Aneka Bahu Dharavatra Netram. Aneka, as we discussed earlier, is not just many, it's so many that we can't number it. Bahu, Bahu is arms. Udara, Udara is the bellies. Vaktra, face. Netram is the eyes. Aneka Bahu Dharvaktra Netram Pashyami. So the word Pashyami comes twice in this verse. Second line and the fourth line. Pashyami Tvam Sarvato Anantarupam. Sarvato, everywhere I am seeing Anantarupam. Your form is unlimited, my dear Lord, when I am seeing it. And to emphasize the unlimited, what is it? Nantam na madhyam na punastavadim. That actually, when you start looking, you know, just look, look, look from this end to that, and there is no end only. There is no end, there is no beginning. Sometimes somebody is trapped in the ocean. You look in all directions, wherever we see, you see water only, water, water, water. Everywhere. You just don't know what to do. Where does the water begin? Where does it end? Where is the middle? Now, if you know, okay, this much is a, this is a lake, then you can understand, this is the lake, one side is lake, another side, this is center. But it's so big, that we just don't have any reference point left only. Saying, Nantam, Namadhyam, Napunastavadim. I can't see anything related there. And then I understand. So what am I saying? Pashyami Vishveshwara Vishwarupa. So this is the first and the only reference specifically by the word Vishwarupa to what? To the vision that Arjuna is having. The chapter is called as Vishwarupa Darshan. Generally that's the word that is used. We'll discuss in our next class about what are the various kinds of Vishwarupas and what is referred to over there. But here the important point is that he uses this word. He uses two words over here, Vishveshwara and Vishwarupa. So Vishveshwara refers to the Lord of the Vishwa, and then you have a form. So my dear Lord, you who are the controller of the universe, you have a form which pervades the whole universe, and that is the form that you are revealing to me. So Vishveshwara Vishwarupa. So Kunti Maharani also in one of her prayers to Lord Krishna, she says, Atha Vishvesh Vishvatman Vishvamurte Svakeshume. So she says, she describes the Lord in three ways. You are above the universe as its controller, Atha Vishvesh, but you are inside the universe also as a Vishvatman. You are transcendental as the Ishvara, you are immanent as the embody, as the indwelling supreme being, and then you are the Vishwamurte, you are yourself the Vishwarupa also. So actually in that sense Krishna is inside the universe, Krishna is the universe, and Krishna is outside the universe also. So here is Arjuna is talking about two aspects of it. He is saying that you are the Lord of the universe, and you are also manifesting the universal form. I am seeing this, O Lord. And so now what happens as Arjuna further describes in this vision, and then how Arjuna's vision and emotion change as he sees more and more things, that we'll discuss in our next class. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.